Thank you, Sam. Good morning. If you're already in 2 Timothy, you can go and stay there. If not, turn with me there to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I was telling my wife last night as I was working on this message for this week, I knew Memorial Day was tomorrow, but then I wasn't connecting it with the message today, and last night I was thinking about Memorial Day, and I was like, oh, maybe I should make some correlation in my message with it. And then I got to think about what I was talking about. I was like, oh, actually, it correlates really well. And that obviously means that the Lord was in that. And that is always comforting to know when he is directly leading where we are going in his word. This morning, I want to look at the idea of being a single-minded soldier. When we get to 2 Timothy, we understand the relationship here with Paul and Timothy as one of a mentor and a mentee. And Paul is writing to Timothy, talking to him about the things that he needs to keep in mind as a young pastor. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are books that I like to go to a lot as a young pastor, as I consider what Paul thought was important for Timothy to know, and as I consider what I need to think about in my ministry here. But when I was thinking about this passage, and how Paul starts this off, and he is working through what he feels is important for Timothy, and he uses the illustration of being a good soldier of the Lord. And the emphasis here is being focused singularly on one thing, and we're going to look at that as we go through this morning. But I want us to consider, and I want you to ask a question to yourself this morning that we're going to review as we get to the end of the message. But what should our focus be as believers, or what should our focus be as soldiers of Christ? We have looked in past messages recently about the reality of us being in a battle. That it isn't a question of if we are going to be in a battle. I challenged the graduates last Sunday night about this, that we are all going to face a battle, that we are all already in a battle. So therefore, when we consider the illustration here of us as soldiers, it is a very important one to consider. But what should our focus be? What should our focus be on? What should our thoughts be as we are going through this battle of life, this spiritual warfare? As we consider the illustration of a soldier, I want us to consider, what does a soldier do? Okay, everyone thinks, just in general terms, you know, I was a young boy growing up, that everybody plays, you're a soldier at one point, you play cops and robbers, you play cowboys and Indians, there's some kind of battle going on. You play that you're fighting with your siblings. You're never actually fighting with your siblings, you're just playing, you know. But there's always some kind of conflict going on that you're playing. But maybe as you get older, you begin to realize that not every soldier just goes out and shoots guns and throws bombs out and does these things. Everyone has a certain responsibility. Each soldier has their MOS, what their specific specialty is. If you consider that each soldier has a specific task, specifically once they get into battle, and each one is challenged and commanded by their officer what they are supposed to do, they are expected to meet those specific responsibilities to the exact detail that they were trained. And in order to accomplish any given task, each soldier must focus completely on the commands of their commanding officer. In order for everything to work according to the plan and according to the mission, they need to follow it completely. And whether they disagree with the commands or not, that is beside the point. They need to follow the commands that they are given, and they need to be sold out in following after their commanding officer. But I want us to consider as Christians, who is our commanding officer? If we are soldiers for Christ, then that would mean that we are following someone. And I would hope that we all understand that that someone is Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and our Savior, that he is our commanding officer as we go throughout this spiritual warfare. I want us to look in verse 1. I want us to see, first of all, where we can find our source of strength if we are trying to be a single-minded soldier. Where do we find that source of strength? Where do we draw from? See, the first phrase that we're going to key in here, and we're going to look at three specific phrases. The first one, that source of strength, is the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Grace is something that we should all constantly be thinking about and be thankful for, and realize that without grace, we would have no hope. It is because of that grace that we are granted many things. What are some of those things that God's grace grants us? Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." It is through the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord and Savior, that we are saved. And then 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." We realize that that grace that God gave us at salvation does not stop being applied to us. It continues to show itself to us as we go throughout our lives. And then obviously in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And this is what it continues to do. "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." You see, grace doesn't just impact us at the point of salvation. Grace continues to show us how we are to live our lives as believers. When we live in light of grace and that grace that God gave us, it should cause us to live a different type of life. It should cause us to be focused differently than we were before we were saved. But why is it important to rely on the strength that Christ gives us through that grace? When it says that we need to therefore be strong and the grace of Christ. We think about a soldier. And when you think of a soldier, it comes to mind as probably a big, strong guy. Someone who is just, you know, ready out there to go fight a battle. We think of someone that is strong. When we think of a soldier of Christ, hopefully we think of strength as well. But why is it important to rely on the strength that Christ gives us? Because there are people here today that are strong, that are well fit. But are we actually able in our own strength to defeat the temptations of this world, to defeat sin that is coming about us? Realize this spiritual warfare is that battle between what God desires for us to do and what our flesh wants us to do. And that is a battle that we are going to face every single day and every single moment of every single day. Some examples that we see from Scripture, I came across this list a few weeks ago, and I thought it was really, really pertinent to this topic this morning. Why don't you consider Samson? Samson, when he was looked at by anyone around him, he was seen immediately as the strongest person they had ever seen. Just a gigantic guy, someone that would have won like Mr. Universe. He just looked huge. He was massive. He had muscle on top of muscle. He was the strongest, physically strongest man in the world. I mean, he went and he picked up a pair of city gates. Like, not like doors to us, but like city gates. And he carried them away. Pretty strong. And yet he fell prey to the temptations of sin and yielded to them. See, he was someone that people looked at and said, "Man, that is a strong guy right there." And yet he still succumbed to sin. What about Solomon? Okay, Solomon may not have, we don't know for sure what he physically looked like. He was a king. Sure, he looked fairly strong. But we know that he was the wisest man that has ever lived. We think about wisdom. Just tell me about one person that was wise. Solomon's most likely going to come to mind. Solomon was the wisest man out there, and yet he had shortcomings as well. He allowed himself to also yield to temptation and to sin. And he was not living a life that 100% of the time was always sold out for God and that was always focused on God. You see, he had the mental wisdom, he had the capacity to be wise, and yet he still chose sin at times. What about Judas? You know, maybe not Judas is someone that we think about always as the person to look at as maybe not sinning. But consider who Judas was. Judas was a disciple of Christ. He was an apostle. He was one of the 12 closest people on this earth to Jesus while he was here. That means two specific things. First of all, it means that Jesus poured a lot into him and actually taught him and invested in him. It also means that Judas was able to see Jesus 24/7 and to see what he was like and to see what he did. He was chosen by Jesus, specifically handpicked to be a part of his group, to be a part of those that he taught while he was here on this earth. And yet we all know what Judas did, that he ultimately betrayed Jesus, the one who loved him, the one who ultimately gave his life for him as well. Judas was a disciple. You know, you think about the people that would have seen Jesus and his disciples, that even those that didn't fully understand who Jesus was, they realized he was a good teacher. Maybe there was times when they saw them, I wish I could be a part of that select group, those 12 guys. They get to spend time with this good teacher. That they get to be with him as he does miracles. And it was a very select group, and he was a part of it, and yet he betrayed Jesus. He still yielded to temptation, to the greed that he had, to the desire for more possessions, and he still sinned. And he was an apostle, a disciple of Christ. And then lastly, I want us to consider David. We can think of all the stories, the examples of what he did as he followed God, but we don't have to go any further than the description that God gave of him, that he was a man after God's own heart. That David was someone who God looked at and said, he is a man after my own heart. In other words, he has desires that very closely line up with what I have. If you looked at anyone else in the world, David, you could look at and say, man, he wants to obey God. He wants to do what is right. But did that translate to not sinning? No. Even though his desires were lining up with God, he still had that battle with the flesh. He still had that spiritual warfare going on where he was trying to please God, but his flesh still wanted to do wrong. You see, folks, we need to understand that no matter our physical characteristics, no matter our spiritual characteristics, no matter what we have learned, what we feel like we have the ability to do, we are all still capable of sin. We are all still capable of displeasing a righteous and a holy God when we try to fight sin in our own strength. We are still capable of sinning when we try to do what we think we can do to fight against it. When we're like, oh, I can take care of this. I don't need God's strength today. When we try to live in our own strength, we are going to fall prey to sin. Why is it important to rely on the strength that God gives us? 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face sometimes. Seek his face every Sunday. Seek his face every Sunday and maybe Wednesday every once in a while. It says, seek his face continually. If you're here today and you're relying on the once a week time where God's word is preached to be able to carry you throughout the week, then you shouldn't wonder why you're struggling in your life, because we are not seeking God continually. Folks, we cannot fight against sin in our own strength. We cannot fight against sin in the strength that our pastors give us once a week in a message. We cannot fight against sin through the occasional message that we may hear on the radio. We need to seek God's face continually. And then through that, we gain the strength that we need to fight against sin. The strength that God gives us, not strength that we can have ourselves. And then Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We can do anything. We can fight against sin. We can see sin defeated in our lives if we do it in the strength that Christ gives us. Folks, it is vital for us to understand, if we are going to be a single-minded soldier, if we're going to be a soldier for Christ in this war that we are fighting on a daily basis, that we seek him and him alone continually. We get down to verse 2, and it's a reminder. It says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Never forget the importance of listening to proper teaching. The importance of listening to proper preaching. As Pastor Randy and I have mentioned many times, that we are ultimately, anytime we listen to someone preach or teach, we are to judge by what they say according to Scripture. Not just because it sounds good or because it feels good, but never should we do anything outside of what God's word says. If I ever say anything that does not line up with Scripture, I would hope someone would tell me. Because I don't desire that, but I want to make sure that what I am saying is lining up with God's word. And folks, we need to realize that good teaching is vital for us to continue to draw strength from God and to have the right kind of strength as a soldier of Christ. But not only do we see the strength that we need to have and that it comes from Christ, but I want us to see the cause of distractions of a single-minded soldier. If we're going to be single-minded, that means we're focused on one thing. But that also means that there is not always just one thing to choose from. There are multiple things that are pulling at us. But what is the cause of distractions of a single-minded soldier? We see in verse 3 that it is the affairs of this life. That's in verse 4. It says in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." You see, facing difficulties in life as a believer is not a question of if, but when they are going to happen. Verse 3 says that we are therefore to endure hardness. Paul isn't saying, Timothy, if something bad happens, then be prepared for that. He's saying, endure hardness. There's not much of a possibility there. It's saying it's going to happen. This is alluded to many other times throughout Scripture. James 1, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." When you fall into tribulations and difficulties and temptations, saying, count it all joy, you need to have that attitude because it's going to happen. When you fall into these times, you need to count it all joy. There's not a possibility of it happening. It's saying it's going to happen. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Peter's like, don't think when there is some difficulty that comes about in your life, something happens to you, you're hurt, or a family member gets sick, or your house is flooded, or there's a difficulty with your car, don't think like, whoa, where'd this come from? I'm a Christian, everything's supposed to be perfect. I'm a Christian, nothing wrong happens to me anymore. Isn't that what I signed up for? No, Peter's saying, don't think it's strange when this happens to you. Don't be all shocked and be like, oh, I can't believe this is going on. It's not a strange thing that is taking place. This is something that we are all going to face. And then James 1, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." What happens when we endure temptation? When it says when this takes place, and temptation referring to whatever kind of difficulties we could be facing, it says, "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." We endure that temptation. We endure those difficulties. When it says here, as Paul's talking about in 2 Timothy 2, 3, endure the hardness. When we do that, we shall receive the crown of life that God has promised us. But as we consider these difficulties, when we consider what are these hardnesses, these trials, these tribulations, there's all these different kind of words. We see in Scripture, I came across this really well laid out list of these, the difficulties a Christian will face. First of all, as we just looked at in 1 Peter 4, you have fiery trials. These are intense encounters or struggles, bursts of anger, grief, or lust, these times that, man, they just come up suddenly. It's like a wildfire. It just bursts on the scene, and all of a sudden it is consuming everything in sight. These fiery trials, these times that are not comfortable to be in, these are most definitely a difficulty that we could face as Christians. What about infirmities? This would be physical limitations or illness. You're sick, something happens to you, you break a bone, you tear a ligament, something like that. We see that talked about in Romans 8, 26. We're going to face those infirmities. We have physical bodies. And though some of us guys may think that we are invincible, we are not. And those of us that, I was not injured until I was 18. I didn't have to have a surgery. I wasn't in the hospital or anything. I had bumps and bruises, but I didn't do anything serious until I broke my arm. And that was a rude awakening. It was like, wow, this is actually a mortal body. I can get hurt. Things can break. Things can happen. When you realize that these things can take place in our lives. What about reproaches? This is ridicule or rejection on account of faith or holiness. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10 talks about that. When we face reproach, when we face ridicule, when we are mocked, when we are laughed at because of our belief, this is most definitely a difficulty we could face as believers. The number four, persecutions. This would be very specifically harassment and oppression due to religious convictions, Matthew 5:10. We can think about the persecution that we face and how maybe it pales in comparison to what other Christians face in the world. But we consider how this light persecution that we may face or not even face, how seriously that affects us as believers. How even the idea of it causes us to fear even talking to someone. Are we considering the reality of persecution, and are we facing it with the strength that Christ has given us? Are we trying to face the persecution with our own strength? Because I don't know about you, when I consider potential persecution and I try to deal with it in my own strength, my number one reaction is to go the other direction. It's to not even face the situation. It's to be like, well, I think I can take care of this persecution problem by just running away. I think that's going to be the easiest thing to do. You see, the strength that God gives us, it enables us to be able to face that persecution head on. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, most of the time, it's more the idea of persecution. It's not even a reality of persecution. We're worried that the person, that our neighbor next door, if we talk to them, oh, they're going to reject us and they're going to blow grass on my driveway after this. It's going to be terrible. No, we don't even know that for sure. Have you even talked to them about Jesus? Have you even talked to them about your Savior who could give them eternal life? If we really think about it, I think that we need to be honest with ourselves that this persecution that we face, most of the time it's just in our heads. That we're trying to deal with in our own strength and not in the strength that Christ gives us. The number five, what about necessities? This would be the wear and care of daily responsibilities. 2 Corinthians 12:10 talks about that. Consider the bills that you have to pay. The food that you have to put on the table for the family. The clothes you need to provide. Just the moral and emotional support that you have to be there for those around you. These necessities, the things that are taking place on a day-to-day basis, can become overwhelming if we try to deal with them in our own strength. If you're finding yourself overwhelmed with just the day-to-day responsibilities, it's not one big thing, but just everything kind of piling up, we need to ask ourselves, is my focus on the Lord or is my focus on my situation? Is my focus on what I can do to take care of this or is my focus on how I can rely on the Lord's strength to get me through this? And then number six, distresses. This would be disappointments and deep hurts. If you haven't found this out already, people are going to disappoint you. People are going to hurt you. People that you trust the most are going to turn on you. But we need to realize that there is one person who is never going to fail you, is never going to leave you nor forsake you, and that is Jesus Christ. And that is why it is so important that if we are drawing our strength from Him, we realize that He's never going to disappoint us, and we never have to worry about that. And we're never going to face that distress in that situation. But we are going to face that from the people in this world. How are we dealing with that? How are we focused on handling that and the strength that Christ gives us? Then number seven, tribulations. Tribulations would be unusual pressures and challenges. We see in John 16:33, all these things that come about that we're not planning on, that maybe are not just a sudden and difficult thing, but it's kind of an ongoing situation. And then number eight, temptations. When we think about temptation, we think about something, if we're honest, that we're dealing with on a constant basis. As we think about needing to rely on the strength that God has given us continually, the reason being, we are continually going to be faced with temptations. Temptation never takes a break. Temptation never goes away and is like, oh, you're at church. I won't tempt you right now. Oh, it's Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. I'm going to take a two-hour break now. We're going to come back in 2 hours, then we'll do some tempting. No, temptation never takes a break. Temptation is going to be tempting you continually. Which is why we need to be relying on the strength of Christ continually. Folks, each one of these difficulties, the fiery trials, infirmities, reproaches, persecutions, necessities, distresses, tribulations, and temptations, these all can affect us in different ways. And maybe just a couple of these are affecting you. Maybe all of them. Maybe one of them. But all of us as Christians are going to face these difficulties to one level or another. But as we consider these distractions and these things that can pull our focus away from God, we need to be honest with ourselves and say, are we allowing ourselves to be distracted by these, or are we keeping our focus on Christ? And as I go through that list of difficulties, I am sure that each of us have had something that has crossed our mind that we are dealing with right now, and that we are allowing ourselves to become focused on instead of Christ. But if we're not supposed to be focused on that, what should we be focused on as good soldiers, as single-minded soldiers of Christ? The last phrase that we're going to see here is at the end of verse 4. The focus of a single-minded soldier is to please him. It says in the end of verse 4, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Folks, we need to acknowledge that if we are going to be a soldier of Christ, he is our commanding officer. Our number one priority is to please him. Our number one priority is not just to deal with the situation going on and to see what we can do to take care of it. Our number one priority is to please Christ. Our number one priority isn't to please our boss or to please our parents or to please authority, whoever it may be in our life. Our number one authority is to please God, which then in turn causes us to please those that are in authority over us. It's not like we just like, oh, I don't have to please you because you're in authority over me. I'm supposed to please God. If we're correctly desiring to please God and to please our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will please those that are in authority over us if they're lined up with God's will as well. See, pleasing and bringing glory to God shouldn't be a part of what a Christian is focused on doing. It should be the only focus. See, we get so caught up in things that we need to be focused on, even good things. We get focused on, well, this is what we need to do over here, and this is what I need to do over here, but I don't consider what should be my only direct focus. And it should be to please God, to bring honor and glory to him, as we see in 1 Corinthians 10:31. That should be our singular focus. But I want to ask you a question. Is it possible to incorrectly prioritize a good thing? Yeah, most definitely. We consider the story of Mary and Martha. You can find that in Luke. Consider Mary and Martha as they're going there. Jesus is at their house. And we consider how he is sitting there and he is talking to those around them. But you understand that he is there to participate in a meal. That he is there to enjoy some time with them. But we see as we get to that passage that Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. And she's listening. And Martha is in working in the kitchen. Both are good things. Both are something that you want to look at and say, oh, that person's wrong for doing that. But Martha gets caught up in the situation and is like, don't you realize that Mary is supposed to be in here helping me? Like, I have this meal for like a dozen people because you bring a whole entourage with you. It's a lot of people to prepare for, and I am busy doing this, and Mary's just sitting here doing nothing. And Jesus is like, I want you to consider, Martha, that Mary is sitting here and she is listening to me. She has chosen the right thing. Folks, are we choosing to do what is right, or are we just choosing to do what is good? Are we choosing the best thing or a good thing? Is our focus on pleasing Christ, or is our focus on being involved in something that is good? There are many, many things that we can all get involved in that are good and that are not wrong to be involved in. But if our focus is to just do that, then it is wrong. If our focus is to please God and to glorify him in everything that we do, he is going to give us the desires of our heart. And that could be being involved in a ministry here at church. That could be being involved in something outside of the church that is a good thing to be involved in. But that shouldn't be our sole priority to just be involved in that. It should be to please God with everything that we have. So what should be our mindset as believers? 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If Jesus is our commanding officer, then his commands to us should be kind of high on our priority list. If we are supposed to be a good soldier, a single-minded soldier of Christ, then the commandments that Christ gives to us, we should be paying attention to. We should be searching the scriptures and finding out what applies directly to me. What did Jesus say to me? What did God telling me here? If you don't spend time in God's word, you're not going to know what those commandments are. You're not going to know what your marching orders are. You're not going to know what your responsibilities are as a believer. But then when you get caught up in a situation like, oh, I didn't realize I was supposed to do that. If I could ask probably everyone who has ever served in the military here today, if you were given a task or maybe there was an orders that were given out and you just didn't read them or you didn't listen to them as they were given, and then later you didn't do what you were supposed to do, and the excuse that you gave was, oh, I just didn't realize I was supposed to do that, I have a feeling that would not go over very well. I have a feeling that you'd be reprimanded in a very serious way. But yet we feel like we can do that with God's word. Yet we feel like we can just kind of turn to a different passage once a week when we're in church, or maybe occasionally we kind of think about something that's in Scripture, like, oh, that's a good thing to consider. But do we realize that God's word is full of commands for us as believers? That we get so caught up in wondering what we're supposed to do with our lives, yet God has the answers for us right here? We cannot hope to know what God has for us unless we are spending time in His word. This is how our God communicates to us. Folks, we have to pay attention to His commandments. We have to listen. We have to obey them. And that mindset comes through what we see in Psalm 19:14, where the psalmist says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Is that your prayer this morning? That everything that you say, everything that you do, everything that you think is acceptable in the sight of God? You know, it takes it another step further. Everything that we say, we think in realms of being a soldier, everything you say should be acceptable to your commanding officer if it's respectful to him. If you're being respectful to him, you're listening to him, you should be thinking about what you say. You should definitely be thinking about what you do. But I'm sure each soldier here is really glad that their commanding officer didn't know what they were thinking. Their commanding officer didn't know that you were thinking, oh, that's not how I would do that. I don't know why we're doing this. But as a Christian, we realize that God knows everything that we think. Are we considering, is every action, every word, and every thought acceptable in His sight? That should be our desire. That should be our goal as believers. One commentator wrote this. When we consider what it is to be focused singularly on Christ. He said, "Servants of Christ are not merely to be well-rounded dabblers in all types of trivial pursuits. They are tough-minded devotees of Christ who constantly choose the right priorities from a list of potential selections." We aren't supposed to just get involved in a ton of little things just because it's a good thing to do. We are to seek the will of our Savior, to seek what the commands are of our commanding officer, of Jesus Christ, and to seek how can I please Him. Not how can I please those around me. Not how can I please those that I want to do well in front of. No, how can I please Him? See, if we are going to be a single-minded soldier for Christ, folks, then our number one desire is to please Him. It's not to get entangled with the affairs of this life, to not get all consumed with the difficulties that we are facing, because we're all going to face them. It's not to be concerned with what is happening around us, but it is to see how can I please Him. So I want to ask you, are you a single-minded soldier for Christ? Are you focused singularly on what it is to please Him? Are you trusting in your own strength or the strength that Christ gives? Are you allowing the affairs of life to distract you? And then are you completely focused on pleasing Christ? Christ wants you to be focused completely on Him. Christ wants you to be a single-minded soldier in this spiritual warfare. He's calling us to do that. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't something that you should do if you feel good about it or when it's convenient. We are to be a single-minded soldier for Christ every moment of our lives. We are supposed to constantly seek Christ in everything that we do. Are you doing that this morning? Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your word. Thank You for this challenge and or a reminder I know that I need. As I consider, am I completely focused on pleasing You, or do I get distracted with the affairs of this life? Do I get consumed with what I have going on, with what I think is important? Or am I seeking Your will? Am I desiring to please You in all that I do? Lord, I pray that You would work in each one of our lives today, that You would help us to do everything that we can to rely on Your strength and not our own. Lord, I thank you that you loved us enough to send your son for us. And as we consider that we are celebrating Memorial Day tomorrow and the sacrifice of many, just as has already been mentioned, help us never to forget your sacrifice on the cross and how we are able to even have a chance at winning this spiritual battle through the strength that you gave us because you first of all gave your life for us. Lord, I thank you so much for everything that you bless us with. Pray that you'd help us all to desire to live for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could turn with me to number 646 as we stand. Number 646, stand up for Jesus. So stand up for Jesus. These soldiers of the cross lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. On the first.